It's 11:30 a.m. on day three, Monday, May 19th. I'm riding along northwards along a freeway that parallels the coast, which is just a couple of kilometres to my right. Occasionally on a hill I get a glimpse of the ocean, and I'm just about 20 kilometres south of Tweed Heads in the Tweed River, which marks the border between New South Wales and Queensland. So I'll be crossing that inside the next hour, planning to have some lunch at Coolangatta. The last 18 hours has had a few ups and downs. Starting at the beginning, I planned to stay at a motel in a little place called Tyndale last night, which I reached at about 6 o'clock. But when I got there, it really was a little place. The town anyway. There was no shops or cafes of any description open. And the motel was was called the Plantation Motel. And it was a very imposing structure. Several stories on a hill overlooking the Clarence River. Palm trees in front. A lit sign out the front saying motel and vacancy. But looking at the motel, no apparent lights on inside at all, and no sign of cars or human habitation. So I decided that certainly I wasn't going to get any food, and that didn't look like a place I particularly wanted to stay. So I decided to carry on for another 15 or so k to the next place. It's a Sunday night, so I was a little bit worried that a lot of food places or any service stations would be closed. But anyway, there was supposed to be a motel at McLean, so I thought I'd aim at that. So I rode another 15k, and just half a kilometre or a kilometre before McLean, I came in, I found a service station open, just had a small shop, and I went in there and asked the guy whether there was a motel in McLean and whether you could get food, and he seemed a bit vague about the whole business. He said there was a motel. So I decided that I should take some precautions and bought a few chocolates and a few drinks and threw them in my backpack just in case I couldn't get any food and wandered on up the road. I turned into McLean, and which was about a half kilometre off the main road, and there was the motel. It was pitch dark, a very small town, not many lights on. The motel was at the top of a steep driveway, and I distinguished myself by swung off the road into the driveway, changing down my gear. The chain came off. Suddenly lost traction, I was leaning, I started to fall off, managed to get my right foot out of the cleat as the bike went down, and then just managed to get my left foot out of the cleat as the bike went down, and I ran across a couple of steps before I could pull up. Fortunately the bike didn't land too heavily, so no damage done. Anyway, I went to the motel, and nice friendly guy there offered me a complimentary beer, which of course I refused, not being a drinker. He wasn't too keen on me putting my bike in the room. I could understand why actually when I got into the room, because it was an immaculate little motel, not very expensive. Everything was very well prepped. When I told him I was leaving really early, he couldn't think of anywhere else to put the bike, so he said, "You put it in the room, but don't tell the wife." So I put it in the room, and I made sure that it didn't make any marks or anything. I never do, actually. Most nearly all motels let me have the bike in the room, and I don't do any maintenance in the room that would risk causing any damage. So then I had my dinner of chocolate, a couple of biscuits supplied by the motel, and my drinks. That was dinner. Messed around, did my diary, and then tried to get my new iPod set up. Had a lot of trouble. It didn't want to download more than 68 of my top 250 songs of all time, which was pretty frustrating. Something to do with the formats, and I then managed, as you do with a computer, to waste about an hour trying to work out how I might be able to reformat the songs so that I would go on the iPod. Eventually around 10 o'clock at night, about at least an hour later than I wanted to go to bed, I gave up and went to bed. Set the alarm for 3, so I only got 5 hours sleep, which wasn't great. Got up 3 on the road by about 3:40, 3:45, with about 90 kilometres, maybe a little over, to Ballina, where I aimed to get some breakfast. That trip was divided into two halves, really. The first half was just fantastic. I was probably buoyed by a double strength black coffee I had before I left, but there was a full moon behind and to my left, illuminating everything really well. It was a perfectly clear night. There were quite a few stars out as well. Not very much traffic, just a few trucks. And I was across the Clarence Valley through dairy country and the starts of some sugarcane plantations. Not too cold, but quite cool. Just beautiful riding. And I guess being a little bit fresh, I enjoyed it. However, after after an hour or so, the road went into the forest, climbed a little bit. The coffee wore off. I started to get tired. Started to get very hungry. And the temperature started to drop. So I started to get quite cold. And then it was a bit of a trudge into Ballina, where I arrived soon after 7 a.m. Reasonably large town, Ballina. I stopped at the first diner that I saw and ordered up the big breakfast and a lime milkshake to go along with the orange juice and the coffee, and really enjoyed that breakfast. Best thing I've eaten for a long time. From Ballina, the road sort of headed more northerly. I knew from memory that there was quite a big hill after Ballina, and memory served me correctly, so it took me quite a long time to climb up that hill. It was slow going, although there was a bit of a southerly breeze, or sort of southerly breeze blowing, so it just helped me a little bit get up the hills. But there's some very steep parts as well, and I spent a lot of time in granny gear, but made it in the end. At the top of the hill, there's sweeping views northwards along the coast. Golden sandy beaches, low green but steep hills on the inland, plantations down in the valleys, and Brunswick Head, not Brunswick Head, Byron Bay off to the right with its distinctive headland. So very pretty. I knew that was the end of the big hills for the day, and had a fast ascent. Actually hit the brakes a few times to stop running up the back of cars. I think my top speed was about 70k an hour, And then I've been on the freeway ever since. As I say, I plan to have lunch in Coolangatta. Earlier I called an old running friend from way back, 30 years ago, we were both good marathon runners, who now lives on the Gold Coast and who's got in touch with me since he heard about the ride and is quite keen to meet up with me and ride a few kilometres with me on the northern Gold Coast. He's also determined that I'm not going to waste time on the fairly intricate route through Brisbane, and he took it upon himself to send me some maps a week ago, which I was very grateful for. So I pretty much know where I'm going. Anyway, Phil's going to come along with me for a while, so I'll call him up for lunch and then meet him about an hour north on the highway. I'll hope to stop in Mount Gravatt tonight, which would be my target for day three. Feeling pretty tired. That's three nights in a row now. I've had only about 5 hours sleep. So with any luck, I'll be a little bit more tonight. I'm pretty much on track to finish, I hope, around 5 p.m. One little amusing incident as I was riding along the freeway here, just humming along at about 30 k's an hour. It's quite easy riding, and I heard a clatter behind me. I wasn't sure whether I'd dropped something or run over something. I looked back, see my rear view mirror bouncing along the road. I was starting to become quite attached to it. It's the best rear view mirror I've had on this bike. It sits just right to get a good view behind. And I was congratulating myself on having picked it up for $9 in Big W. However, apparently it's only got a 600 or 700 kilometer lifetime, because there was no evidence of why it broke off, but it's just a clean fracture through a straight piece of plastic. No joint, didn't get banged or anything, it just it had enough and fell off. So I've consigned that to the rubbish tin. I guess I'll look for another mirror, maybe slightly more expensive, if I go past a bike shop as I'm going through Brisbane or some other town coming up. I can survive without it. If I want to be sure, I tend to turn around and look behind me. But occasionally it's helpful at night, because you can pick up the lights of traffic coming up behind you quite a bit before you can hear it. That's it for now.